The following is a drasha that I am about to give in Borough Park for an organization called Bambi. Bambi was actually started by a woman named Rachel Bamberger Chalkovsky. Because her maiden name was Bamberger, she was called Bambi as a nickname. However, she's involved in a tremendous stucker in Eretz Yisrael helping poor families, and the organization is called B'Siyua L'Mishpochais Bruchois Yeladim. And in Hebrew, those first letters also spell the word Bambi. So any references tonight to that organization is concerning this woman and the work that she does for the organization. It's being given on February 10th, 1993.
I'm deeply grateful to Mrs. Devorah Prague for having invited me to come to speak to this very, very special organization. Tonight, we've come together to lend a helping hand to a person who is a legend in our time. Those of you who know Mrs. Chalkovsky, everybody knows her as Bambi. She alone, many of you may not know, has delivered 30,000 babies over the years. They're not all boys, unfortunately. Besides that, through her responsible and trustworthy hands, millions, mamish millions of dollars have gone through her hands for tzedakah. So you can imagine what kind of lady she is, what kind of chashuva she is, that people would trust her literally over the years with millions of dollars. And so therefore it's a tremendous chus for me to be able to participate with her in this kinus for tzedakah. And with her permission, we decided that tonight we're going to devote this kinus to a learning session. We're going to try to understand what our attitude should be towards the money that the Eibishter blessed us with, what our attitude should be towards tzedakah. Now, we know today that we're in a global recession. That means that everybody is suffering. No matter where you go, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in America, it's very, very difficult to make a living. We're lucky if we have jobs, and many people are suffering. So what should be our attitude towards our money and towards our tzedakah? So I heard a great story based on a Gemara. I heard this once from Rabbi Dweck from Deal, New Jersey. He told it over once at an Aguda convention. And I feel that this should be our theme tonight on how we approach tzedakah and our money. The Gemara tells us in Gittin Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says as follows: Imroya Adam, if a person sees Shem Mezaynosav Mitzumtzamim, that his money is Mezaynos Atayt, Yasemehen Tzedakah. He should give tzedakah. So of course, what do you mean? If money is tight, you should give tzedakah. How are you going to give tzedakah if money is tight? So Rabbi Dweck said that when he was a little boy, he was growing up in Syria. And he heard about a certain Dorfmensch, a fellow that lived outside Damascus. He wasn't too bright, a very simple guy. And the guy one time wanted to mail a package. He doesn't know how to mail a package. So they told him, listen, if you want to mail a package, you have to go to the post office. So okay, fine. They showed him where the post office is. And he comes to the post office, and he gives it to the clerk, and the clerk says to him, hey, you can't mail this, it's too heavy. He said, it's too heavy, so what am I supposed to do? He said, you have to put on 5 more stamps. He said, what do you mean, if I put on 5 more stamps, it'll be heavier? So what does that mean? That means that person doesn't understand that it's the stamps that are going to carry this package through. And that's what the Gemara is teaching us. If money is tight, Yasemehen Tzedakah, give Tzedakah with that money that's tight. Because of course it's going to be tight. It's like that package that gets heavier. But that's how the money is going to have a kiyum, and that's how the money is going to have a bracha. So that's the first thing all of us have to know. No matter what financial situation we find ourselves in, Yasemehen Tzedakah, give Tzedakah from the money that you have. Because then the money that you have will become Nisbareich. Many years ago, there was a man from the Midwest who came to visit the Satmar Rebbe. And he said to the Rebbe a problem that many of us surely have. He said, you know, I raised a family and I supported them very well. And my sons are in Kailo, and my daughter-in-law's married fellows that are in the Kailo, and my daughter-in-law's teaching, Beis Yankov, throughout. And now I always thought that by the time I marry off my kids, I'm going to have less responsibilities financially. But now I'm starting the whole circle all over again. I'm sending grandchildren to camp. I'm buying them clothes. I'm supporting my son-in-laws, my sons, everybody. And all the moises hatzaka that are coming, they want to have the same amount of money that they wanted to have years ago. But I've got so many achrayos into my own family. How can I handle it? I thought I would be able to continue giving the same amount of tzedakah. So the Satmar Rebbe, in his ingenious way, told the man to take out a chumash. And he told him to mish to the pasuk Dvarim Tezayin Yud Aleph. And he said, I want you to read to me a pasuk chumash and concentrate on it. And I want you to count the amount of people that we are talking about in this pasuk. In this pasuk it tells us that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to be Oyle Regel, so you have to give out and help a certain amount of people. You're going to make certain people happy. So let's count ourselves as we're listening to the pasuk. It says, V'samachta lefnei Hashem alekecha ata, you're going to help and make, in front of Hashem, you're going to make these people happy. Bincha, your son. Bitecha, your daughter. Abdecha, your servant. Amasecha, your maidservant. V'halevi, Hashem b'sharecha, the Levi. V'hager, the ger, the yosaim, and the almona. So the Satmar Rebbe said to him, count how many people does the pasuk say that you have to make happy? So he said, Rebbe, it's 8. Rebbe said, no, I'm sorry, you counted wrong. He says, Rebbe, what do you mean? Bincha, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, Levi, the ger, the yosaim, almona, Rebbe, it's 8. He said, no, look in Rashi. And now you'll see how a tzaddik, how a gadol hador learns a pasuk Rashi. Rashi says, Arba Shali Keneged Arba Shalach. There are two types of people. There are two groupings here. There's 4 of your people and 4 of my people. Your people are your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant. Rashi says, Im Ata Mesameach HaShali, you take care of my people. You take care of the Levi, the Ger, the Yosem, the Amona. Those are my people, the Avisha says. You take care of mine, Ani Mesameach HaShalach. I'll take care of yours. In other words, Rashi is telling us it's not 8 in the pasuk, it's 4 and 4. And if we support the Levi, the Ger, the Yosem, the Almona, the families that have so many children, the Almonas that we just heard about, those Nebach, those Yisaimim, we help them, David's just going to help us. And that has to be the attitude. There's not 8 people that we're making happy. There's 4 that we have to worry about. Your own kids, David's will take care of that. He'll make sure that if you provide for others, then the Eibishter will provide for yours. And so therefore, we've come here tonight, Taka, to help the Eibishter's people, those unfortunate families that have Nebach illness, that have Nebach poverty, that have no job, that have no place to look for, except for Bambi and Martin Beseta and other organizations like that. If we help those people, Rashi is guaranteeing us that the Eibishter is going to help our people. You know, there's a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash in Dvarim Gimel Zayin tells us a story about a certain king. He got married to a matron. He got married to a very nice lady. They were engaged. And when they were engaged, this future queen, she brought him a gift. And she gave him 2 beautiful diamonds. So he said, oh, these diamonds are so beautiful. I will give you 2 diamonds as well. And from that, I'm going to make a beautiful crown. And that's the crown that you will wear. What happened before they got married? The lady, unfortunately, lost those 2 diamonds. And she came to the king and she said, Adoni HaMelech, I'm so sorry, I lost the 2 diamonds that I was going to give you. He said, listen, we had a deal. I was going to give you those 2 diamonds, but only if you give me your 2 diamonds. And now you don't have them, then I cannot give you my 2 diamonds. And of course she was devastated because she felt silly that she had lost them. And she spent the whole day and night that she was looking for the diamonds, and finally she found them. And when she found them, she gave them to the king, and the king gave her the 2 diamonds, and then Taka, he made her a beautiful crown, and that's what she wore when she got married. So the Medrash tells us there are 2 diamonds that we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there are 2 diamonds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us. The 2 diamonds that we want to give for HaKadosh Baruch Hu are Tzedakah and Mishpat. If we do Tzedakah and Mishpat, those are the things that Hashem wants from us. And you know what He's going to do for us? Chesed, and Rachamim. So those are the four diamonds, Tzedakah and Mishpat, and Chesed and Rachamim. Now all of you who have sons that are bar mitzvah know that every single day when they put on tefillin, when your husbands or your children put on tefillin, they say the pasuk, Ve'irastich li la'olam, ve'irastich li betzedek, over mishpat, what goes next? Over chesed, over rachamim. Marriage, the eternal marriage between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is these four diamonds. Tzedakah, mishpat, chesed, or rachamim. So if anybody in this room wants to be guaranteed chesed and rachamim, what you have to do is begin doing tzedakah and mishpat. You give those two diamonds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzedakah and mishpat, the pasuk is guaranteeing you, you're going to have chesed and rachamim. So now how are we going to do it? How are we going to start from tonight making sure that everybody in our family taka does tzedakah and chesed so that we should get tzedakah and mishpat so we should get chesed and rachamim? And one of the ways that we have to do it is to start giving Miser. You know, in Miser, the Gemara tells us in Tainus, Tes Amar Aleph. Is somebody blocking somebody downstairs? So the Gemara tells us in Tainus a very interesting story. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yochanan was once walking and he saw the son of Reish Lakish. And he said to Reish Lakish, "What are you learning today?" So he said, I learned the pasuk Aser to Aser. That's the pasuk that's in Dvorim Yudalot Chav Beis. So he said, so the little boy said to Rabbi Yochanan, why does it say Aser to Aser, that a double lashon? So he says, you know why? Because if you are Aser, if you give a Miser, Aser b'shvil shetes Aser, you're going to get rich. And he said, you can even test Hashem for that. So the little boy said, "Aye, but it says in the pasuk, Lo yisinasu es Hashem alekechem, you're not allowed to test." So listen what he said to him. He said, "That's the only mitzvah, and all of you should remember, you're allowed to test Hashem. From tonight on, you should begin making a cheshbon of every penny that you earn and give Miser." And the pasuk says in Malachi Gimel Yud, "Ubechanuni no bezois, test me." The Eibush is saying, "Test me." You give Miser, v'harikoyse lechem brocha ad b'li dai is the way people say it. In other words, if you give Miser, then the Eibush is going to make sure that you're going to be wealthy. And you can test it out. You know what we have to start doing? Anybody who has a store in their basement, many times you don't think you have to give Miser from that. If you have a garage that you rent out, who thinks about giving Miser from that? If you own stocks and you sell and you buy, every time you sell, wait a second, did you think about giving Miser from all these things? What about teaching our children? When kids babysit, they make $3 an hour. They haven't made $3 an hour. You have to teach them they only make $2.70. They must give 30 cents, and you must teach it to them as a youth. When a child comes home from camp and he made tips as a waiter or a waitress, they have to know they have to give Miser. You must begin teaching your children and showing them how you give Miser. You don't have to tell your kids how much you earn, but they have to know that they have to give Miser. If a kid, when a kid has a bar mitzvah, he has to know that the money that he gets for his bar mitzvah, that he has to give Miser from that. When a young couple gets married, they have to know they're mechuyev to give Miser. No matter what their financial situation is, they are mechuyev to give Miser. And that's the way we begin training our children from Jungweis on. That means even when they're young, no matter what they earn, if you're the type of parent that gives a child a dollar for doing something, they earned a dollar, they have to know it's only 90 cents. They must keep a cheshbon and they must give Miser. And that's the first thing. We have to begin teaching ourselves being more careful in Miser. There are many, many people who say, "Oh boy, I give so much tzedakah, it's way over Miser." And the truth is that if you make a cheshbon, you'll see you're way behind in the cheshbon. You have to, what you earn, what your husband earns, there are many different things that you do on the side that you don't count in as you have a rental upstairs. "Oh, well, I have so many expenses, I'm doing them a big favor, I'm giving them for less." But if it's any profit, if it's a dollar profit, then you've got to give 10 cents. That's what David is saying. If you give Miser, then you're going to get wealthy. But it has to be with an exact cheshbon. So that's the first thing. You know, it's an interesting thing. The pasuk, the Mashah in Tainus, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, mentions that the pasuk said that we're going to get so much bracha. And it says in the pasuk, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, and then you're going to get, and then you're going to get the bracha. So the Mashiach says, why did the Pasuk use that expression, Aruba Yisashamayim? Can anybody think of where in Chumash Bereishit it says the words Aruba Yisashamayim? By Noach, look at that, excellent. By Noach, it says, right, boy, our education's paying off. It says, Aruba Yisashamayim, the Eivishter brought Aruba Yisashamayim. Now I'm going to ask you another kasha, let's see if you came up with the same thing as I did. Aruba Yisashamayim, so it says that Aruba Yisashamayim, that opened up the windows of heaven and the marble came. So the Eivishter says, no, but if you give Meiser, then from those windows of Shamayim, you're going to get Schar, not Chas V'Shalom marble, which was Klola, you're going to get so much Bracha. So I was thinking, what has the marble got to do with Meiser? Just because the marble, right, the marble, the windows opened up and then they got Klola, and now we're saying over here because of Meiser, then the Arubas HaShemayim are going to open up? So it occurred to me, yeah, go ahead. Good, Mamas, you should give it to Drasha. That's exactly what my pshat is. That's exactly what I was thinking. In Sanhedrin it says, Kamar Kor Godel Kor Chashal Chomos Sherei Dor Amabul Ovro Alakov Loinechtem Aleim Gzadin Ad Sheposhtu Yudeim Begezel. People did not appropriate their money properly. That's why the marble came. That's why Hashem got so fed up, because people didn't treat their money properly. But if you give mice and you give tzedakah, then Hashem says, wait a second. I gave, the Arubas HaShemayim gave Klola. Now it's going to give bracha. So you're going to think, oh, what do I do wrong with my money? I'm going to show you what everybody does. Not here, but in other places, I'm going to show you what people do. Do you know that the Mashiach says a frightening thing? He says, V'rabim b'dor hazen. The Mashiach is talking a long time ago, right? He says, many people, they gather wealth, shaloi b'emunah, u'v'chil Hashem, they overcharge, they steal from goyim, and they make a terrible chil Hashem, and then they go to shul, and they have a big mishaberach, and they announce big money for tzedakah, but that's a mitzvah bav aveira. So don't think for a moment that if you're stealing, if you're overcharging, or if you're being matzik gvul, or you're stealing from a goy, you're going to be a big tzaddik, and you're going to give tzedakah. That's not the tzedakah that you're going to get the bracha from. It has to be money that you got with erlichkeit. The Mashiach says if people get money, shaloi be'erlichkeit, then that's not a bracha, that's a mitzvah b'aveira. That's not what we're talking about. So you have to be careful about how you earn your money. And I'll tell you a frightening thing. I think that this is mamish frightening. Listen to this Mishnah and Peah. The Mishnah and Peah tells us, V'chol misha einoi tzorach litoil. Anybody who takes stock of money, v'noitel, and he takes, einoi nifter min ha'olam ad sheyitzarach labriyos. One day he's going to have to come onto society. So you're going to think, who in this room comes takes stock of money? And when we really don't have to, we don't take stock of money. I believe that if somebody doesn't pay full tuition, and they can, then they're taking stock of money. Because the schools, the yeshivas, and the beis yankas, they're struggling. Why? Because people go on vacations, people pay, have two cars, they go on bungalow colonies, they do everything in the world. But why are they taking money? They're not paying tuition, they're taking money from the yeshivas. You're not really taking it, but it's costing them because of you. And therefore, chas v'shalom, if a person does that, a person can really afford full tuition and doesn't do it, in my humble opinion, that's called taking stock of money, and chas v'shalom, a person can be yitzarach labriyos. How many shuls do we daven in that we don't give them a plug nickel? Our husbands, we daven in this shul and this shul. Who's supposed to pay for the air conditioning? Who's supposed to pay for the siddurim? Who's supposed to pay for the rav? Of course, you think, well, I only daven in one main shul. Here, I'll tell you a great story. I told it over one night when we were talking about tefillah. Teaches us a great lesson. Let's see, this girl here is so smart. Let's see if Shapat can write in this one, right? Adarava, don't think you can be proud. Let me tell you, listen, how would you all paskin this shayla? Rav Shmuel Talanti Yerushalayim had this shayla. There was a man, two people, they davened in the shul. One guy davened in the shul only in the middle of the week. The other one davened in the shul only on Shabbos. Every Shabbos he davened in the shul. That was his main shul. The other one davened only in the middle of the week. So now with Eivishter Gehofen, Tuesday night, they both had yard sites. So the guy who davens in the middle of the week says, hey, wait a second, this is my weekday shul. So therefore, I daven for the Amid. Of course, yard site, he wants to daven for the Amid. So the guy says, what do you mean, this is my main shul? I daven here on Shabbos. So I should be able to daven for the Amid, even though it's Tuesday night. So how would you paskin? Who's right? The guy who davens Shabbos or the guy who davens there a whole week? Shmuel Talan Paskin. Shmuel Talan Paskin Shabbos. Why? Because the shul that you daven Shabbos, that's the one that you support. And the one who supports the shul, he's the one who has kedima. And I told this story over to a rav in Brooklyn that he said you could say, but not in my name, that even the shuls they daven in Friday night, they don't support. And that's true. And that's true. That's called taking money from tzedakah. If you daven in a shul, then you owe it to them to give them some money. Because otherwise, chas v'shalom, a person could be yitzarach labriyos. Do you know it says... Thank you. Do you know it says, a pasuk in Dvarim Tezvov Zayin, it tells us, ki yiyeh b'cho evyon, oiv sevet zayin indir an oraman, if there will be amongst you a poor person. So the Or HaChaim says, what do you mean if there'll be amongst you? If there'll be a poor person, what do you mean in you? In you there's going to be a poor person. And listen, this is what we have to believe. And this is what the Or HaChaim Kaddish tells us. You know why there are poor people out there? Because of us. We're being tested. Every woman in this room, or every man that's going to listen to this tape, has to know that if you have money, you're being tested with the money. Why did Abishtha make the other person poor? Because he's testing you to see how you're going to do it. It's in you. If there's always going to be poor people in Klal Yisrael. Why did Abishtha make them poor? I don't know. And we can't know. But we are being tested. And that's what the Or HaChaim tells us. Let me tell you how a man in Yerushalayim, one such a great tzaddik, Rav Shlomo Shadron, told me this is one of the nicest stories that he knows. There was a man, Rav Yudel Holtzman. Rav Yudel Holtzman was a person, a tzaddik, an elder yid, who was a wonderful erlich yid. He was called from the Bali Halacha. And he didn't have much of a panosa. And every time the Gabbai Tzedakah would go up and down the streets, he had to stop in his house, because otherwise he would have a taina. How come you don't come to my house? How come you don't ask me for Tzedakah? I also want to give Tzedakah, no matter what, how little it is. So of course, the Gabbai Tzedakah always came, and there was a Nebuchadnezzar, a poor fellow who had to have a big operation. A certain tailor needed an operation. And so therefore he went to Rabbi Yudel Holtzman, the Gabbai Tzedakah went to Rabbi Yudel Holtzman and asked him. He came into his house, he was sat on the broken seats there, and he asked him, he said, listen, the guy needs an operation. Maybe you can help us and give whatever you can. So Rabbi Yudel Holtzman is thinking. He said, oy vey, I don't know. This time I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I know, he says, that I have given Meiser already in advance. There are many people who do that. That, Baruch Hashem, that they have an exact cheshbon. So they give Meiser in advance of what they're going to earn. You can definitely do that. In other words, if you have some money you want to give it, you keep a cheshbon. And then when you earn a certain amount, you can take that off from the cheshbon. And he said, I already gave a year ahead because I know what my hachnasa, my income is going to be, and I have a minig. I don't give more than a year ahead of the Meiser money. So now this time, I don't know that I can help you. But I feel so terrible for that person. He should have a refuah shleima. So the Gabbai figured, what a tzaddik. The man doesn't have anything, and he's giving Meiser, and he's already gave a Meiser a year in advance. Fine. So he left the house. He's walking down the block, and the Yudel also calls him back. And he says, come here, I just thought, the Abishtha helped me, I just thought of an idea. He says, what did you think of? Come back, I figured it out. He says, what? He says, listen, you go, you take a loan from a gemach in Yerushalayim. I know the din is that you don't have to make kiddush on wine, you can make kiddush on challah. So every week it cost me a few cents, or a few shilling, whatever it was at that time, to pay for the wine. So I will now devote, every Friday night, I will make Kiddush on Challah, and the amount of money that I was going to spend for the wine, then I'll pay back to Gemach. 15 years this man made Kiddush on Challah. 15 years! And Avshalom once told this story over in public, and a fellow came running over to him, a young man, and he said, you know, my uncle is Rabbi Yudel Holtzman. I used to eat by his house so many times Shabbat. I never understood how a man who's a Baal Halacha could not make Kiddush on wine. He never told me why. Now finally I understand it. And then he told Avshalom that the week that he happened to tell that story happened to be Rabbi Yudel Holtzman's yard site. What does that mean? That means that a man had a test. The Eibishter tested him to the utmost. Here a man has already given Meiser, and he knows any money that he has to give Meiser. But he already gave more than a year in advance. That's called passing a test. I don't know if we're up to that Madrega, but we have to know, those poor people that Bami is supporting, or those poor people here in America that we see in the streets, they're there because of us. They're there because we are being tested to see what we're going to do with our money. I want to tell you something, a Medrash
In Bamidbar Chav Beis Ches, this is so frightening, and we should all listen. It says, you know, how do you say the word possessions? Nechasim, right? So the Medrash tells us, you know why it's called Nechasim? Shenichsim mizeh veniglin lezeh. Nichsim means hidden. One day these Nechasim are going to be hidden from you. You're not going to own it forever. No one stays wealthy forever. It's a cycle. It says, Zuz is money, right? In the Gemara Lashon. Why is it called Zuz? Shezozin mizeh venoisnin lezeh. It goes from one to the other. Money doesn't stay. You could look around at all the beautiful wealth. It doesn't stay with the family forever. And not only that, momoin. Momoin stands for mata moina. What are you counting? It's not going to be yours forever. Give it away. The Gemara says, melach momoin chaser. If you want to salt away your money, make it less. Give it away for tzedakah. Don't try to hoard it. It's not going to be for you. Mo'oi stands for mala ace. What are you hawking? What are you doing with all this? It's only for you for a temporary time. So what are we going to do? If taka is such a vicious cycle, and the money is not going to be with us forever, listen, here's how you can make sure that the money stays with you. Here is the answers in the Aruch HaShulchan Siman Resh Mem Zayin Hey. It tells us that again, a person, no matter how wealthy he is, someday he's going to lose it, and if he doesn't lose it, his kids are going to lose it, and if his kids don't lose it, nobody holds on to it forever. However, here's the answer. V'kibalti, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I got a Kabbalah. Ki al yedei she'a'odah ma'asev tztaka. If you gather tztaka, if you collect tztaka for other people, me'acherim al yedei zeh matzil es deroysev malazar al apsochem. You want to be sure that your children and grandchildren won't come onto society? Make sure that people give tztaka. Be a ma'asev tztaka. That's the guarantee. Not pile up your bank account. That's not the guarantee. The guarantee is if you make sure that others give tztaka. If you make calls for a parlor meeting, and you make the case, and you make an attractive night so that people should want to come and give money, that's called being ma'asev ma'acherim. You're encouraging other people to give. And that's why Bambi asked me specifically to thank those special 15 volunteers, because they are the ones that are ma'asev tzedakah me'acherim. They are the ones that add to this night by encouraging other people to give. And therefore the Eibush is going to help them, that the money that they have will always stay with them and their children and grandchildren. And we should learn from them. And we should know. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, we all know, there's nothing as humiliating. He says this in Reish Mem Tes Yud Beis. It's humiliating, believe me. I've gone to houses with Tamid Chachamim and other people, and I'm ringing the bell, and I'm hoping the guy's not going to be home. I can't stand to walk into a house and have to ask the guy for money. First of all, because I know he's going to come back and ask me in 2 weeks. But besides that, but it's just so humiliating. But if you do that, and you mavaza yourself, that's the guarantee that the money is going to stay with you forever. There's a great story that I once heard in 1939. I didn't hear it in 1939, but I'm saying it happened in 1939. Right. But what happened was that there was this Rav Abba Zalka Gwirtz. Rav Abba Zalka Gwirtz was a Talmud of Rav David Leibowitz in Chofetz Chaim. Rav David Leibowitz, who started Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim, you know the Chofetz Chaim sheet of Musar and Elochkeit and Edelkeit, so fine and so wonderful and so special, especially in Musar and all these Edel Azachen. So one time the yeshiva was mamish, it was freezing in the yeshiva, they had no money, it was a cold winter, so they went down to Miami to raise funds. And they had an appointment with a certain person, a certain chosh of a person. And they couldn't even afford a sleeper, there were no planes that they were going to go because that was too expensive. They went by train, it was a day and a half trip by train, and they had to sit, they couldn't sleep in a train because they couldn't even afford that to get that Pullman berth or whatever. So they were sitting up and they were exhausted, and they came to this person on a Friday. And he was mavaza them. He says, what are you coming? Erev Shabbos. He said, well, we had an appointment. Oh, no, don't come. I have no time for you. And I'm busy. Don't you see? I have to do different things. I have community responsibilities. And he wiped the floor with them. And the Rav, the Rosh Shiva, Rav David Leibowitz walked out. Guten Tag, fine. And this Talmud, who today is an older gentleman, he lives in Cleveland, he told me he was so furious. And he was going to speak up. He said, your mamash ha-machutzef. That's what he was going to say. So he walked out with the Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, I don't understand. How could you just have taken it over there? He said, don't you understand? The guy gave me the gress, the covet. He said, what covet? What are you talking about? He said, let me tell you. He said, Yecheskel. Who knows? What is Yecheskel ben what? Buzi, right? So then the Gemara says, why was he called Buzi? That wasn't his father's name. Shebiza Atma Divrei Torah. Yecheskel was someone who was willing that he should be even embarrassed. He didn't care to do anything to spread the word of Torah and mitzvah. So that's what Chazal remembered him by. Yecheskel, for all the generations, he's going to be remembered. Yecheskel ben Buzi, Shebiza Atma Divrei Torah. Now this guy, he was Mavazimi. So now I'm from Yecheskel ben Buzi's people. How all of us here? How many of us are Taka from Yecheskel ben Buzi's people? Bambi, I'm sure, can tell you, and all the wonderful ladies who collect, and the men who collect, b'zyonis mamish. But then you're from Yecheskel ben Buzi's people. Then you have the guarantee that Aruch HaShulchan, and the money's going to stay. So you should have chizuk from it. Don't worry if that person embarrasses you, or the tenth person hangs up on you, they're not going to come to the parlor meeting, or they're not going to come to this kinnos or whatever. But if you know if you're being embarrassed, that's the biggest favor they're doing for you, because you're going to get that wonderful schar. I want to tell you a great thing. Somebody told this to me recently. It's mamish adorable, and it's very important. We says in Pasuk, Tezvav Yudalef and Dvarim, Pasoyach Tiftach Es Yedecha. You have to open up your hand when you give tzedakah. You know, look, if you close your hand, all the fingers are on one level. You could give tzedakah with a closed hand, but if you open them, they're all on a different level. Do you know there are Pasoyach Tiftach Es Yedecha? Before you give tzedakah, you have to figure out which tzedakah is more important. Not every tzedakah is the same. You're not supposed to give the same amount to every single organization. And I want to tell you, I feel that this Shabbos and Bli Ned, I'm going to do it to my family. This Shabbos or the following Shabbos, to take, and all of you should do it, with your husbands or your children or whatever. Simin Reish Nun Aleph in Yeradeya. Many people don't know that there's Hilchot Tzedakah. I'll tell you right before, there's Hilchot Kibud Av Ha'Aim, so it's good you should tell the kids anyway. But besides, after you finish with Kibud Av Ha'Aim, you come to Hilchot Tzedakah, Simin Reish Nun Aleph. You know what that Simin tells us? Lemi Noisin Hatzedakah Ve'eza Koidim L'Chaveirai. Which Tzedakah do you give for it? You're going to be shocked what you owe your relatives. You're going to be shocked of what people you're supposed to give your neighbors before you give people that come from other places. You're going to be shocked about the importance of Aniyei Eretz Yisrael compared to Aniyei all over the places. And then you're going to be surprised certain people hold that Yerushalayim Dikaniyim have certain kedimas. We don't even think about these things. We don't even learn these things. They don't even teach it in schools or in the yeshivas. But look it up. You'll be surprised. Simin Reish Nun Aleph is very easy Hebrew. You'll see all the different halachas. What tzedakahs are supposed to be. Just remember, open up your hands, but they're not all the same. Certain ones you're supposed to give more. Everybody you give something. If only comes to your house, you don't send them away without anything. But not everybody gets. You got to check up. It's a terrible thing. I was talking with Bambi the other night. There are many people that come here with letters and things. It's terrible. You have to check up, because if you give money to a tzedakah that doesn't exist, that's mamish as if Chas V'Shalom, the Abbas is taking away the money for you and you're not getting any schar. You don't get any schar if you give to a guy and he really doesn't deserve it. You're being a nice guy, but it doesn't help you. That's not really the schar. You have an achrayus. If you want to broch of tzedakah, you have an achrayus to check up on every tzedakah, every maisid. Does it really exist the way it is? How many kids are they really there? So you have a great responsibility. I just want to end with two more things. One thing is that you have to know that when you give tzedakah, whether you give a sefer Torah to a shul, whether you give chamashim, sidurim, always write down the name of people that were nifter. Let's say if it's a parent or a grandparent, you don't have to write your name, because it's a tremendous chus for people. Even if you write on a check, Zeichen Nishmas, this and this person, or Refuah Shleimah for this person, but usually what the Chofetz Chaim is talking about, giving it Zeichen Nishmas someone. And it's a tremendous chutz for that neshama. You know why? Because then people say, look, Ashrei Shezeh Yolad, Ashrei Shezeh Gidel. I remember when my father Shalom was Nifter. So of course I gave stock in his name, and not in his name, I gave stock and I didn't write down his name. Because I figured, well, Davidson knows, what do I have to brag that I'm giving the stocker? So I remember I once spoke to my Rebbe Rav David Cohen about it, and he showed me this Chofetz Chaim, which is in Avos Chesed, in the Inyonei Gemilas Chasadim Perek Tezvav, in the Haggah on the bottom. Also, you can read it, it's easy Hebrew. And it says, it's a tremendous chus for the person. You don't have to write your name, but write, you're giving it in the name of a father, a grandfather, an aunt, an uncle. And then people say, look what a special person that person was, and like this they have people that are going to give tzedakah. Now I want to tell you the greatest story. One of the most beautiful stories. This story, except for another one about the monk family, which is in the book. This story, more people have made comments about this story than any other story in the whole book. I hope you didn't hear it. If you heard it, it's great to chazer it over, because it'll show us what a beautiful horse this sucker can be. A lady wrote a letter. A lady wrote a letter to her grandfather, who lives in East Flatbush. And she wrote him, Zayda, I want to tell you a story that just happened with me here in Eretz Yisrael in Ramat Gan. And she tells him the story. She tells him that she had a certain job, and she was in the middle of the job, and she became pregnant. And she knew that she would have to take off a month for maternity leave. And she was very worried, and she was very worried that when she goes on maternity leave, then what's going to happen? The boss will give away the job, because there are many, many people who are looking for jobs in Eretz Yisrael, and he just can't hold a job after a month. And she was so worried about it. So what happened was, she was afraid to talk to the boss. And one day it was raining, and everybody was eating lunch inside, and they all were talking, and it was like a very informal gathering. And finally she blurted out to the boss, she said to him, listen, you know I'm expecting, and I'm so worried, are you going to hold on to the job for me? My husband is out of work, my brother is living with me from America, and I'm just so worried, could you please promise me that you're going to hold the job? So the boss was like so taken aback, he didn't even expect that she should ask in front of everybody. So how is she now? Well, what was he going to say? So he tried to veer away the conversation, and he said, you're from America, where are you from? She said, from Flatbush. Oh, what's your name? What's your maiden name? And she said, her maiden name? Then he started asking, where do you come from? East Flatbush. Who was your father? Who was your mother? Who was your grandfather? Back and forth. And she said that she felt so, like she was so frightened. He started asking so many questions. And finally, he walked out of the room. And when he came back a few minutes later, it looked like he had been crying. And he said to the girl, right, I could use that, thank you. He said to the girl, I want to tell you something. He said, many years ago in Flatbush, there were two electricians. One was a very wealthy man, he belonged to the union. The other one was not a wealthy man at all, thank you. He was not a wealthy man at all, and he ran from place to place trying to get jobs. So these two fellows, they davened in the same shul. They weren't that friendly, but they used to walk home because they used to talk shop, whatever. And then one day, Nebuch, the poor electrician, the one who didn't belong to the union, he had a heart attack, and a few days later he died. And the man, the wealthy electrician, he came to be Menachem Avil, and he saw a house filled with children, and he saw the poverty in the house. And those of you who have had the misfortune of sitting shiva, or those of you who have gone to be Menachem Avil, know that in a house where you're going to be Menachem Avil, it's always such a tumult. There's no way that the Avelim could know everything that's going on in the house, because there's so many people in all the different rooms and everything. So this fellow walked into the kitchen, and he opened up the refrigerator, and he saw there was very little food there. So that afternoon he went and he bought a tremendous amount of food, and he put it into the kitchen, into the cabinet, into the refrigerator. And the next day he came to Menachem Avil again. And the lady, the Amona, she said to him, hey, are you the one who filled up the refrigerator with the food? He said, no, don't worry, it's nothing, it's no problem. And he went back to the refrigerator later, and he saw that some of the food taco was used, and every day from the shiva, he filled it up with food. And after the shiva, that's it, he didn't have much access with the family. 2 or 3 weeks later, the Amona called him up, and she said, listen, you know, I was going through my husband's stuff in the basement. He has so many electrical supplies, drill bits and screwdrivers and hammers and wires and sockets. I don't need any of that. You know, it's bad memories for me. Do me a favor. Come, take it all. I'll sell it to you for $100. He said, okay, fine. He came for 3 weeks in a row, every night. He made like an inventory. He set up the screwdrivers here, the hammers here, the sockets, the wires, the drill bits, everything. And then on one Sunday morning, he announced in shul that there's going to be a sale for all electricians, all carpenters in the area, anybody who might need anything. And all the money is going to go to the Almana. And that afternoon, many, many people came, and they raised more than $3,000, and they gave it to the Almana. And this fellow was telling the story, and he said, I want you to know that your grandfather was the one who made the sale, and it was my father who passed away. And he said, I want you to know, you will always have a job in my place. And tomorrow, if your brother and your father come to my place, they will always have a job. That's what stuck is all about. Tzedakah is not only a tzchus for those who lived before us, but tzedakah is the gresta chesed and rachamim for us. So let us go over the 10 points that we spoke about tonight. The first thing is that even though it's difficult and money is tight, the tzedakah is going to carry us through, like that stamp is going to carry us through. So let's not worry if we don't have money, let's still be strong and support the Eibishter's people. If we support the Eibishter's people, the Yisraelim and the Almanis, the Eibishter will take care of our people. Let us remember there are four gems. And if we do tzedakah and mishpat, the Eibishter then will do chesed and rachamim with us. Let us remember that Maaser is so important and that it's a test for all of us. And we have to teach our children and we have to teach ourselves how to be medaktik in every aspect of Maaser. We have to remember that the money that we gain has to be with Erlichkeit, otherwise, chas v'shalom, there can't be any bracha on that money. We have to remember not, chas v'shalom, to take tzedakah. Now, of course, we're not going to take from a pushka, but don't take advantage of your schools. Don't take advantage of the Moises HaTorah or the shuls. Don't take advantage because, chas v'shalom, that's a way of taking tzedakah that we don't deserve. Let's remember that the money that we have is really a test. The poor people out there are out there because we're here. Because we're being tested to see how we're going to act. We don't have to make challah, chiddush on challah. We don't have to go that far. But we have to know that we have an achrayus how to handle our money. Let us remember that if we're mavad, that if people embarrass us, when we're raising money, then we're from Yechezkel Ben Buzi's people. And we should be proud of it and be proud and not be insulted. And let us remember, we have to open up our hands to tzedakah. Let's learn Siman Reish Nun Aleph, and then we'll know the priorities of tzedakah, what's important and what's secondary. And let us remember, most of all, that when we give tzedakah, it should be a zchus for our fathers and mothers and grandparents and all those who came before us. Anybody who we want, it should be a zchus for our neshama. And most of all, like those electricians, we know that if we do taka, tzedakah, and mishpat, then we vase. And then we'll have chesed and rachamim. I'm going to rely on your tape now. So, let's just end with this thing. Yeshaya HaNovi said, Tzion v'mishpat tipoda v'shaveha v'tzedakah. How is Tzion going to be redeemed? V'mishpat, if they do v'mishpat, then they'll be redeemed v'shaveha, and they will come back to Yerushalayim with tzedakah. Let us all be Erlach with Mishpat. Let us all be good and kind out of with Tzedakah. We'll be Zoicha then that the Eibishter will bring us back to Yerushalayim. We'll all be able to see Mashiach and Yerushalayim Gezunta Heit. I thank you for inviting me and I thank you for listening.